Because, like I said, the devil absolutely hates us as believers. And I believe we're all there at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And here we go. We're going to hit through verse 9. And here we go. It says, Paul's writing this letter to the church in Corinth. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had talked as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christian life. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. Verse 3. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by a sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? When one of you say, I'm a follower of Paul, another says, I'm a follower of Apollos, aren't you acting just like the people of the world? Verse 5. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work of the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Verse 7. It is not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters works together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. Verse 9. For we are both God's workers and you are God's field. You are God's building. So Paul, after he visited them, he's writing this letter to them, and it almost sounds like he's restarting it all over again. He goes, oh yeah, I got the first two. I got the first one. Now I got something else I need to talk to you about. A lot of us absolutely hate when we're called out on things. You know, Jesus called out the religious people quite often. Ye of little faith. Or, you brood of vipers. You know, the thing about it is that Jesus even called out his own disciples. Because he comes down from the mountain and there's a boy that has been thrown around by this demon, and these people go, hey, Jesus, this little boy needs help. And the disciple says, hey, what's up with us? He goes, you can have faith. Hard things come by prayer and fasting. Did you know you want somebody to get born again into the kingdom of God? Fast for them. Literally take a meal a week and fast for them. If we truly want names come off that board, you should take a picture of one of those names and fast for them. Because I've seen God move greater in people's lives when we fast. Hard thing. Coming into the kingdom of God is not easy, because all hell will be broken loose before they enter into the kingdom of God. And once they enter the kingdom of God, I've heard people say, man, it's tough. I mean, it seems like ever since I gave my life to Christ, I have one thing after another. Well, guess what? The devil doesn't want you to keep walking and striving in God. He wants to make you stumble and trouble and tumble. But walking with Christ is the easiest thing you can do. Because guess what? You don't have to worry about what the world thinks. You just all have to say, Lord, my life is in your hands. We sing that song. I give it all to you, God. We love to sing that. But then he'll come and say, will you give me your drive time? Will you give me an hour a day? Will you give me your friends? And what I mean by that, are you willing to give up your friends to get away with God? Are you willing to do these things? And so here's Paul. He starts off with a, hey, brothers, sisters, I couldn't really talk to you about spiritual stuff. You know? Because you're not that spiritual. You know, one thing I love doing with my son is taking road trips. And then many of you have heard some of our stories about what we talk about. And sometimes it gets deep. And that's good. But there's other people I can't go deep with because they're not spiritual. And Paul's calling them out on that. Hey, you're a baby. Stop acting like it. You ever notice somebody who is in the same position year after year after year after year, and they blame it on this person or that person or that person or that person? As we were worshiping, this thought came to my mind, another thought. Jesus doesn't want your will. You know, we heard this saying, Jesus, take the wheel. He's like, no, I'm not taking the wheel. You got yourself in this problem. You drove off the cliff and now you want me to like take it as an airplane and pull you out of the... A lot of times we make a bad decision. I think we all have. And then we blame it on God. And God's like, uh-uh, you didn't invite me into the passenger seat. He wants to be the co-pilot. You know why? Because he wants to tell you where to go. Remember the old days before GPS? They had things called maps. Right? You guys remember that? And sometimes you get a map, and you keep it for like 5-10 years, and it was outdated. Because they actually were working on the roads then, putting some nice ones in. And the driver's here. And that's before we got distracted mightily. And then they have a co-pilot, right? Shotgun. You know where the word shotgun comes from? From the old West. Where they had to ride the horse and buggy. And they had passengers and gold and money and all that. There was a driver. And then they had what? The shotgun. Why? Because he was carrying a shotgun. See, the guy on the side protected the driver. He would see a wild beast coming. There's dinner. Or whatever. And so the thing about it, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to sit next to us while we're driving this thing called life and telling us what to do and how to do it. He will never take control of your actions. He will guide your actions, but you have a choice to either, beep, 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 you need to turn left on Highway 55 or whatever. You need to take left. You know, the Holy Spirit will tell. Actually, guess what? He's better than GPS. You ever use GPS and you know you're supposed to turn, but they're not telling you to turn? And all of a sudden they go, rerouting? What? You didn't tell me to turn. But with God, he'll tell you, hey, slow down. You're about to change lanes. You know, or GPS will tell you, in 3 blocks or 3 lights, you'll be taking off. I don't need to know that right now. Either they give you too much information, or they'll let you go right on by. But with the Holy Spirit as your co-pilot, who doesn't want to take the wheel, you get to drive. Well, because it's your life. And you get to choose what you get to do. Are you going to listen to the co-pilot or the packed seat driver called the devil? They're both in the car. They're both in your life that will tell you, it's really not that big of a deal. You don't need to forgive them. Did you know unforgiveness is the biggest foothold in people's lives? Because that will tear you down and it'll take you places that you don't want to go. You ever not forgive somebody for something for years and it just makes you sick? Let it go. It's one of the things that we as believers want to hang on to because we have the right to hang on to it. No. God will deal with them. So, you can either listen to the backseat driver, which doesn't have the map. The backseat driver never has the map. They don't have the shotgun. But the thing about it, the front seat passenger called the shotgun, called the Holy Spirit, has the map of your life. And he wants to say, get in the car and let's go. And so many times we're in the car and we're like, I'm in the car, Holy Spirit, now what? He's like, I told you, put it, start it, put it in drive, and go. Last Friday, I was in a service, and I've been debating what to do a little bit this summer. And all of a sudden, God goes, put up the white tent on the property. Yes. I'm like, why? He goes, don't worry about why, worry about obedience. I'm like, okay. So I reached out to Johan, hey, can we use your white tent? He goes, well, you can have it after school gets done, then we're on vacation. I go, okay, the first week in June, we're going to try to get it set up. Why? I don't know. All I know, I have to be obedient because he's the driver. He's the passenger. He's the one, the shotgun. And guess what? We're going to have a couple, at least Wednesday night services out there. It's going to be beautiful. It's just what God wants to do. It's up to us to be obedient. All right. That's my bunny trail for this time. I'll get back to the scripture. It goes, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would spiritual people. What a rebuke. I would love to talk to you about spiritual things, but you're not that spiritual. I mean, can you imagine getting a letter from your pastor? Hey, I'd love to talk spiritual things about you, but you're not really that spiritual. That's what Paul's doing. And then we'll see why here in a few moments. And then he goes, I had to talk to you as though you belong to this world, as though you were infants in the Christian life. In other words, they were more concerned about this worldly stuff, who the Vikings got in the draft. Does it really matter? They're going to not make the Super Bowl anyways. So why even just stressed over it? And then the thing about it, we're more worried about the Twins, and they're like, they don't do the Twins things anyway. They win 5, 6, 7 games in a row. Next, you know, they're losing 8, 10, 15 games in a row. Way to go! I made up my own terms. They're doing the Twin thing. Now we're concerned about, who's going to win? And I love sports. I absolutely do. I was listening to the hockey game last night on the way home from the Twin City. I absolutely love sports. But that is my least of my concern. See, they're more concerned about I can guarantee you we can go to churches around this city, around this nation, that will be more concerned about the worldly things than they are about pleasing God. And about going deeper with God. And you know something? If you ever read the book of Revelation, read it with a new mindset because it'll blow your mind. Get rid of all everything you've been taught about the book of Revelation and just read it. It'll just blow your mind. It even tells you who the bride of Christ is. Chapter 21. You want to know who the bride of Christ is? Chapter 21. It'll tell you all about it. In case you're wondering, it's the new city coming out of heaven. That's the bride of Christ. Look it up. Read it. And guess what? As the church, we're the body of Christ. We're the body. We get to be the body. We get to do things. How awesome is that? I want to be his legs. Because I got short ones, I want long ones. It gives me go faster. But he's saying that I had talked to you as you belong to this world still. You're acting like the world. How many people do you know that goes to church that still acts like the world? Well, I got the church. I grew up in church. I played the church game. Trust me, I knew how to be a good boy from 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday to about noon on Sunday. I knew exactly what to say to whom and how to stay out of trouble for 3 hours. I knew the rules. I knew how to say things, how to be good. I even in kids' church with an older lady who I thought was 99 years old when I was like 10. She wasn't that old, but that's what she seemed like to me. I knew how to even speak to her and how to say the right. I knew how to dress. I put on my Sunday best. I put on my polo and my jeans. Carolina will be with a wet noodle. I don't know why. And I'm thinking a wet noodle? Of all things, a wet noodle. But if you got me in school on Monday morning, you've never known I went to church. It didn't make a hill of beans. Because church doesn't change people. The Holy Spirit changes people. All right. Then Paul continues. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food. Can you imagine? A 25-year-old person still being fed by his mama?
Ouch.
Yeah. Weird. Strange. Not natural. But yet, in the church, well, they're a little slow. No. They're lazy because they're not feeding themselves. Can you imagine? I understand there's disabled 25-year-olds. I'm not saying that part. I'm saying those who are able to feed themselves, dress themselves, but yet they're still getting dressed by mama, still getting fed by mama. There's something wrong with that. And in the church, we're saying, Pastor, I want you to feed me. It's not my job to feed you. It's my job to encourage you, to equip you, and send you out. It's your job to get into the Bible. It's your job to fast. It's your job to worship. It's your job to grow. I'm not there to say, oh, did you do your devotions this morning? You know something? It's up between you and God. I will encourage you to get into God's Word. I will encourage you to do these things. But the thing about it, I can't make you grow. I can't even feed you good food. Because guess what? I regurgitated this. I ate it myself. And now here it is. Think about it. You got to dig into God's Word. What does it say to you? How can I apply it to my life? I'm frustrated with it. Guess what? There's things in the Bible I absolutely do not like. I absolutely do not like. But I'm not going to tear it out. I'm going to let it change me. So I can be more like Christ. All right. Weird still. Thinking about a 25-year-old getting drunk. I mean, I pick out my clothes, and I don't have the best eye color coordination. So if I ever come in and my clothes don't match, it's because I just went into my closet and I just picked out anything. But if they do match, I pick them out early enough in the week that my wife can approve that they go together. So if they don't match, it's my fault. If I look good, you can blame my wife. Trust me. My daughter helps sometimes too. And it goes, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And still aren't today. Verse 3. For you are still controlled. Here it is. You're still controlled by your sinful nature. If I am a new creation in Christ, right? That's what God said. If I give my life to Christ, and it's talking about not just new believers, it's talking about supposedly seasoned believers, those who've been, let's say, a believer for a year. If your life has not changed in a year of knowing Christ, like growing and seeing the fruit of the Spirit, guess what? You don't produce the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produced that fruit. Now, if you want to ask God to help you grow that, He'll help you. By people say, well, I'm going to pray for patients. Have fun. I'll never pray for that. Because I don't want to be a doctor. You don't want me to be a doctor. And so the thing about it, he goes, you're still babies. And then you're still controlled by your sinful nature. We have this thing called flesh, bodysuit. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your sinful nature, where Christ has conquered. Guess what? As a believer, I am no longer a sinner, according to Christ. I'm actually a saint. Think about it. You can call me Saint Roy. I can call you Saint Ron. Saint David. That's a ring to it, doesn't it? See, he likes that. He goes, oh, yeah, you can call me Saint David. Called Gary Saint Gary. That's the way sees it. I don't. And why do we look at ourselves as defeated sinners? I'm not. God rescued me from that. You know, we have to change it. And so the thing about it is that here he is. He goes, you're controlled by your sinful nature. And these are some of the sinful natures that they're controlled by. You're jealous of one another. Jealous? Me? Never. Step back and ponder. Have you ever been jealous that somebody got a raise and you didn't? Have you ever been jealous that something happened to somebody that you wanted to happen to you, but it didn't happen to you, but it happened to them? Have you ever been jealous that of a new car, somebody got a different car? So all these things, jealousy can run its course. And now you're saying that God gets jealous when we don't follow him. I get that, but that's a different type of jealousy. This jealousy is one birth out of, I want what they have. It's a jealousy of wickedness. Our neighbor just got a camper, Google camping, they used to use tents. And I'm like, praise God. I wouldn't want to sleep on the ground either. If I went camping, guess what? I don't want to go camping. I want a whole town where I have a pool and a shower and beds and heat in the winter, air conditioning during the summer. You know something? I'm spoiled. I don't want to sleep in a tent or a thing that doesn't have, bless you guys with your camper. Hopefully you have AC. But the thing about it, it's just all open window. If it's 90 degrees out at 10 o'clock in Minnesota and the mugginess and mosquito. No, thank you. Put me in a hotel room. At least I can take a shower. I don't want... Oh, not all the campers.
Not all, but
some of them are kind of... Hey, Cletus, at Royal Rangers camp out, do you guys take showers?
No.
Okay, there you go. There's a reason why I don't go camping with Royal Rangers. I'll come back and my wife would say, holes time. All right, enough bunny trails. But our sinful nature of jealousy of one another, and it says quarrel with each other. We quarrel over the stupidest things in this world. Especially things we can't control. Yeah, have you ever had an argument with your spouse or your children, and about a week later you don't remember why you were mad at them? Oh, yeah. You know? Or you remember about 5 years later. Remember we argued over that? Before my wife and I got married, we had a disagreement over the stupidest stuff. Looking back at it. It was just stupid. Because we were trying to figure out life. As young 20-year-olds. And stupid things would rise up and we'd be like, it's like, then you step back and say, why do we even argue over that? It doesn't really matter.
She was still right.
I won't go there. Sometimes she was. And sometimes she was. But you just, and sometimes she wasn't, but that's a different point. You quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? The church. We as believers, and I'm not just saying churchgoers, I'm saying dedicated Christians, Christ followers, we should be different than the world. The church has everything the world's looking for. So why would the world want to be like the church? Why would the church want to be like the world? Well, I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to smell like the world. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to act like the world. I have something that the world doesn't have. I have Jesus. And with Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, I can have a lot more fun than somebody with the other spirit. Guess what? I can remember what God did in my life. I remember what God's doing and what God did this morning in people's life and what God's done in people's lives since we've been here. Guess what? I remember those things. I don't have to to say, oh, I got this other spirit, it's Fireball. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna. He comes up with names like that. I got the true fire. See, these spirits, they always come up. Wow, we got a new wine. I got something better. I got the true new wine. They're acting like goofs. See, in James chapter 3, verse 14, it says, but if you are bitterly jealous, there's selfish ambition in your heart. Don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, okay, there you will find disorder and every evil of every kind. Think about it. Jealousy and selfish ambition. There you will find disorder because they're not following God, and evil of every kind. He's not saying don't work hard. It's saying that you are saying, I'm going to do it my way, and I don't care about anybody else. I don't care what God says. I'm going to do it my way. That's what he's talking about. That when you have selfish, well, I want to make $1 million. I don't care. That's selfish ambition. Working hard is not selfish ambition. Working hard is a good thing. But here James is writing and goes, but if you walk in jealousy and if you walk in self-ambition, you'll find disorder because guess what? You'll come against things of God. Jealousy goes against the things of God. Disorder. And it says, has every kind of evil. Every kind. Now, I don't know how many kinds of evil there are, but there's more than one. Because it says every kind of evil. Jealousy will bring out the worst in people. Selfish ambition, like, they're going to step on people. I'm going to climb this corporate ladder. Climb, have fun. I'm going to be down here worshiping Jesus. Enjoy. But God wants us to live in unity according to Psalms 133. Then Paul continues to write. Some of you say, I'm a follower of Paul. Some of you says, I'm a follower of Apollos. The world wants to pick teams. You ever notice that? If you love the Vikings, who do you have to hate? If you love the Packers, who do you have to hate?
The Packers.
Who told you that? The world. What if somebody likes both the Vikings and the Packers?
That's okay.
See, we want an enemy. Our enemy is not the Packers as a Viking fan. It's the spiritual realm that is our true enemy. But the world will always say, no, that church across the street is your enemy. Across town. No, they're not my enemy. What's controlling maybe that church across the town is my enemy. Because I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I don't wrestle against the things of this world. I wrestle against the things of the spiritual things. And when Paul, guess what? He doesn't say just pray. He says pull down the strongholds. We're waiting for God to do something when he told us to do it. Pull it down. I don't know how. There, pull down. Is that simple? Yeah, you take it and say, hey, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we command you to go. You have authority. Walk in that authority. Command that thing to go. You're not defeated. See, the thing about it, if I say, if you're a Michigan Wolverines fan, there's another college from Ohio University that, if you like one, there was actually a football coach back in the day that would never fill up or buy anything in Ohio. He actually ran out of gas in Ohio, and he had to walk to Michigan with his gas tank, grab some gas, and put it in the car. Because he did not want to buy anything from Ohio. That's how much he hated it. Welcome to rivalries. jealousy. But I'm like, who cares? You know, I really don't care who wins out of the Minnesota Vikings. Okay, I do. But the Packers. But the thing about it, I grew up saying, if you like a certain football team, we're going to talk to them. I mean, growing up, my dad was a Packer fan. My oldest brother was a Packer fan. Then I had a Cowboy brother. Then I don't know what happened to him. Then I had a brother that liked the Saints. Don't know what happened to him. Then I had a brother that liked the Oakland Raiders. Now, the brother that likes the Chargers, and then I grew up just liking the Vikings way back when I was born. When they actually went to the Super Bowl, I was brainwashed at a young age. My dad would put me in front of in the high chair and made me watch Monday Night Football when I was like 2 years old. True story. So you can blame it on my dad, Denise, for liking football.
And a daughter who likes Green Bay.
Yes, and a daughter that likes Green Bay, and a son, I'm not sure what team he roots for. And, so, but the thing about it, we grew up, you have to hate the Bears. You absolutely had to hate them. And now I'm like, why? What did they ever do to me? I really don't care about the Bears. The only time I root against them is that they're playing against the Vikings. It's a lot of times I just want to watch a good football game. All right, we'll keep digging. But here they go. Some will follow Apollos, some follows. But here, Paul wraps up these 5-9 basically saying, we're on the same team, guys. We should be jealous. Gene Jerry has been driving around the city all week praying of. They didn't need my permission. They go, God told us to do it. Go do it. You don't need a pastor's permission to do ministry. That's a good thing. People out doing stuff. You want to go visit somebody in the hospital? Go do it. Be blessed. Jesus says, when you visited me in jail. He didn't say when you preached or those types of things, when you came and did to the least of these. Go do something. We're all, Paul's saying, I planted it. Paul says, I'm honored. But who gave the increase? God. It goes back to God. I can tell you story after story after story of how God has touched people with you. In the last week, I have prayed for people in the past. I had one lady who goes, she just got a credential in the AG. I prayed for her 3-4 years ago at camp that she wouldn't go in debt to go into ministry. She's completely there. She's never went in debt. She followed God, and she says, look what God did. I prayed for somebody a couple weeks ago about writing songs, not you, Jerry, but somebody else. I talked to the person on the phone on Friday. They go, guess what? I wrote 4 songs in the last couple weeks, and we just recorded them. I go, I want to hear them. I prayed for a pastor about a year ago, a little bit under a year ago, who's going through a hard time. And guess what? The church has rebounded, and they're doing great. Not me. It was God. See, the thing about it, I just do my part. I go around saying, hey, you can do it. Somebody, see, we have a garden. I planted all the stuff so far. Because family's doing all their other stuff. Guess what? They can help water. We have a water house. We have a water. If it's dry, Sundays, it's my wife's turn. If it's dry on Thursday, it's Aurora's turn. Guess what? We all get to weed the garden. Yes, son, you get to weed. Congratulations. You're part of the team. But guess what? When it comes to January, we're opening that salsa. Woo! Put it on your salad. It's all worth it. I'm not going to remember who weeded around the tomato plants. I'm not going to remember who planted the beets. All I remember, man, these things taste good. Yummy, yummy, my tongue. See, we're all on the same team. We should all be excited what God's doing. And so if somebody gets a new car, we should celebrate. If someone gets blessed with somebody, we should celebrate. Wow, that looks good on you. Well, I've been getting jealous. Well, I wish I could get a new jacket, but Pastor does. Well, you go to Goodwill, they're about $10. They're not that expensive there. You should be excited. If somebody gets blessed, we shouldn't be upset. We should be excited because we're one body. We're one team. And the church is growing. We should be excited. God is moving in that place. We should be. I wish God would move in our church. Why don't you expect Him to move? Why don't we expect Him to do what He's doing someplace else? Why don't we expect Him to do it here? If God can do it in Africa, why doesn't He do it here? Because we don't expect Him. Maybe Jesus is right. We don't have enough faith for Him to move in America. Maybe we don't have enough faith. Well, Pastor, I got all this faith. It says in the Bible, Jesus, help me with my lack of faith. I had to say that this weekend. And to be honest with you, which is a good thing of a pastor to do, is be honest. I mean, we should all be honest. Even if your name's not Abe, you should still be honest. I was in the meetings this weekend with my daughter. We were up there Friday, and yesterday was a long day. And they had some time prayer time.
I went up to the altar. But this was my attitude. I'm not going to fall over.
I'm not, God. So the person prayed for me, nothing happened. It's like, dogs. Pride. I went back to my seat and goes, how did that feel, pride? This guy had miracles taking place. And so, he had another altar call later in the day. And so I'm standing there, and like, he goes, God's like, all of a sudden, I couldn't stand any longer. I'm like, God. And God's up there, I have a visual of Him laughing at me. How does that fill with your pride? It's like, okay, Lord.
See, pride will rob us. We're not working on the same team. We're on the same team. There's gifts that Cletus has I can't do. I could do it, but it'll take him 5 minutes to do something. It'll take me 5 hours.
There's gifts that you guys have that only take you a couple minutes to do. I'm not an artsy person. You are. You're very artsy. You don't want me to paint something that's supposed to look nice. I can paint a wall. And sometimes that doesn't turn out that well. I'm not the artist. I don't build. I can destroy things. I love destroying things.
You like doing that too.
Rebuilding things, not so much. But guess what? There's people that love to take things apart, see how they work. They can put them right back together and they sound better. It works better. That's not my gift, sir. But I'll pray. I'll encourage you. It even says in the Bible, it says, if you have the gift of prophecy, prophesy. If you have the gift of encouragement, encourage. If you have the gift of hospitality, some of you ladies don't have the gift of hospitality. Don't feel bad. It's okay. I don't have that gift either. I don't hospital a dog. I don't own a dog.
There's a reason why I have to clean up after the dog.
I have a hard enough time cleaning up after myself. But whatever you have, do it unto the Lord. You all have gifts. Every gift, it says in the Bible, is irrevocable. You were born with these gifts. Now go stir them up and go do them. Wherever they might be. And don't let pride get in the way. Because God will laugh at you. Let's pray.
Father, we thank You for this day.
Lord, we praise you, we exalt you.
You're so good to us.
We ask you just pour out your spirit upon us still. Just be with us this week. We thank you.